Greetings in the name of Jesus. This is Rob Hames. This is 15 Minutes with Jesus. Wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, Jesus said, there am I in the midst of them. To those of you who love him in truth, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Today, we're going to look at a long-standing doctrine in the Church of Jesus Christ, the judgment seat of Christ. Let's look first at the main scriptures which those that teach this doctrine refer to. Before we go there is something which is so important that every one of us consider. Whenever a scripture is used to support a doctrine, go to the scripture, take a look at the other scriptures that are there. Consider carefully the context of that scripture. Also, we must always consider the whole counsel of God's written word on the subject at hand. Search the scriptures to see if what is being taught is really true. Our trust must be in what is written in God's word above what any man is saying or has said in the past. So let's look at the scriptures as they are usually quoted to support the judgment seat of Christ doctrine. Let's turn to Romans 14:10. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Let's go to John chapter 5, verse 24. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Now let's consider the main aspects of this doctrine as it is presented in the church today. First, the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ. The word is Bema. It's a judgment only for believers in heaven after the rapture. Number two, a judgment not for any condemnation nor for any sin, as all our sins were already dealt with through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. They say Jesus took our punishment once and for all. Number three, it's a judgment only for rewards, for service. Rewards meaning only good things, like medals of honor or crowns. Those who have not been faithful in their service will receive loss of rewards, even punishment, but no one will be damned. And they quote Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, period. John 5:24, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not come into condemnation, but has crossed over from death to life. The judgment seat of Christ, they say, is different from the great white throne judgment. That will be the final judgment of the wicked, only unbelievers. They say believers are secure in Christ, but they must still appear before the judgment seat of Christ. It will be a time of examination and a time of reward. Now let's look at the scriptures that they use again, only in their context. Then in John chapter 5, verse 24, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. If you just go down to verse 28, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. The judgment seat mentioned in these scriptures is just that, a judgment seat. The Greek word used here is bema. It means a step, foot breath, a rostrum, tribunal, judgment seat, or a throne. Romans 14:10, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That word all means the whole, every kind of. So every kind of person is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 11, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Verse 12, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive, that's everyone, the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether good or bad. Verse 9, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Verse 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Clearly these verses say that those that have done good will be there, as well as those that have done evil. That is, the righteous and the wicked. There is nothing in these verses that says this is a separate judgment only for Christians. Everyone shall receive from the Lord according to what he has done, good or bad. Let's look at Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath. Notice the day. And revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking, or in the King James it says contentious, and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for there is no partiality with God. In Matthew 7, verse 21, Jesus said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, notice in that day, Lord, Lord. Verse 23, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. These are Christians standing before Jesus, being judged for what they have done, both good and evil. Those who practiced evil will be cast out. They shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Those who have done good will enter in. Those who have kept Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount. Those who denied themselves every day, took up their cross and followed Jesus every day to do the will of the Father, being led by the Holy Spirit, being sons and daughters of God. It's not believers and non-believers. It's the righteous, those that keep Jesus' words and do the Father's will, those that do good to the least of Jesus' brethren, and the wicked, those who practice iniquity and do not do good to the least of Jesus' brethren. This false doctrine, the judgment seat of Christ doctrine, is all about a separate judgment for believers. There is no scripture that actually says there is a separate judgment for believers. They say the believer's judgment with respect to sin is long past. I recommend reading Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 and following. I don't have time to read it right now. They say, therefore, the judgment seat of Christ is not designed to punish believers, but rather to reward them for their faithful service. It's a judgment for believers' works after salvation. Only rewards. Either you receive a reward or you miss out because of unfaithful service. Jesus said, cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. The Lord said he will cut asunder the evil servants. There are evil servants. and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. They say the judgment seat of Christ is different from the great white throne judgment. That will be the final judgment of the wicked, only unbelievers. Where does it say that? They reference Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And they were judged, verse 13, every man according to their works. Verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 3:5, he that overcomes, I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. He that overcomes. He that doesn't overcome and remains a servant of sin shall be blotted out of the book of life and shall have his part in the lake of fire. The fruit of this false doctrine is that millions of Christians believe that they will never be condemned to the lake of fire, that they will, at the worst, only suffer loss of rewards. And so they don't fear God as they should, as they would if not for this lie. And they don't overcome sin in their life. They continue to practice sin, and they believe it will be okay for them. The scripture says, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection, on such the second death has no power. There is nothing to fear if you pursue holiness, if you fear the Lord, if you walk after holiness, if you love him and serve him with all your heart. There is nothing to fear. But unholy Christians, as I said in a previous message, will not make it. Holiness without which no one will see the Lord. It is a horrible deception of Satan, and they will end up being destroyed if they don't repent and believe the truth of God's word. Just as Satan told Eve in the Garden of Eden, "You shall not surely die." So he deceives Christians today. Also, they reference Revelation 22:12, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." They stop there. Check out verse 14. "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city." If we don't keep his words, we don't love him, and we won't be able to enter into the city. Verse 15, "For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers," or fornicators. How many fornicators are in the church today? And murderers. How many mothers and fathers have murdered their babies through abortion and have not repented in the church? And idolaters. How many people worship their pastor or their church? How many are involved in idolatry? And whosoever loves and makes a lie. Do you think that there are any believers who practice lying? All liars are going into the lake of fire. No, people of God, it is not the believers and the unbelievers. It is the righteous and the wicked. 1 John 3:7, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins or practices sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. Both shall be rewarded by Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Judge, in that day. Every man and every woman according to their works. Thank you for listening to 15 Minutes with Jesus at roberthames.com. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you who love him in truth.